And we're coming up on 9:30 and time for Talk of Our Towns. When we talk about the development of Astoria, the history of Astoria, we tend to focus on the Scandinavians, the Swedes, the Danes, the Norwegians. We commemorate that with the Scandinavian Midsummer Festival in every June, but frequently overlooked are the contribution of the Chinese population in Astoria. There was a very sizable contingent here at one time. Well, that oversight is going to be redressed this Sunday, March 24th, from 2:30 to 4 at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria as Encore, exploring new concepts of retirement education. Team is joining forces with the Clatsop Community College and the Clatsop County Historical Society to present the Chinese in Astoria. Oversight of the history of the Chinese population in Astoria. And here to talk about it today, Erhard Gross, member of Encore, and Dave Zunkel, president of Encore. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Now give us what can we expect to learn this weekend?
Well, we are going to talk about the history of the Chinese in Astoria very specifically. Mac Burns, by the way, of the Historical Society, is going to do that particular aspect of the Chinese directly in this town. But we also go back to the waves of immigrants that came to the West Coast, starting with the California Gold Rush.
Mm-hmm. In 1849.
And we have a professor of history who's going to cover that particular thing. And then the next era deals with the Chinese in Oregon specifically. I'll do that particular one. And I think we're going to make our citizens here, the listeners to this program, more aware of what part of history was contributed by the Chinese, who are of great importance. As a matter of fact, in the 1880s, at one time, this was prior to the Exclusion Act of 82, that there were almost as many Chinese people living in this town as there were others, mostly Scandinavians, as you pointed out, David.
Mm-hmm. Now, what dates, specific dates, are you looking at?
Well,
for the immigration into Oregon,
we're talking here about the 1860s, when the Chinese, as the California Gold Rush became depleted, literally. We are seeing people from China moving up with the discovery of gold in southern Oregon. And that's the first aspect, mm-hmm. that it shows the northward migration of the Chinese.
Around Jacksonville and
this
areas
is correct,
like that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Around Jacksonville. But then we also had the construction of the Oregon-California Railroad, plus the railroad that goes along the gorge of the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. And that attracted a lot of Chinese because the Chinese, although they were not considered to be equal to white people, not educable, for instance, these particular folks were reliable. They worked hard. They didn't give any problems to their employers. And as a consequence, they helped in the construction of the railroad. But in Astoria, they worked in the canneries because they were reliable. They were peaceful. And ultimately, literally had a monopoly on the cannery workers in this town here.
Oh, really? So yes. They were absolutely instrumental in the development of the canning,
yes,
industry.
I would go so far as to say that without the Chinese in Astoria, the salmon industry, the cannery industry, the fishing and cannery, would not have developed as expeditiously as they did with the assistance of the Chinese people here.
Now, the first cannery in Astoria was built in the 1870s, I believe. And so that would also mark the beginning of the arrival of the Chinese cannery workers, I guess.
That is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, and at its height, about how many people of Chinese descent were living in Astoria?
I think we're dealing here with nearly 5,000 at one time.
Nearly 5,000?
4,700-something. Yeah.
My goodness. And then in 1882, there was the Chinese Exclusion Act, which was a federal act, which banned immigration from China, kind of a hardline anti-immigrant measure. How did that affect the Chinese population in Astoria?
Well, it began to decline after the Exclusion Act. One of the peculiar things about the Exclusion Act is that the Chinese, if they were in fact fishing at one time and got beyond the 3-mile territorial limit out into the ocean, they couldn't even return. They had to be sent back to China.
What? They'd be stranded out there?
That is correct, yes. If they were caught outside of the 3-mile limit, they were not able to come back in here unless they had a sizable account in the bank. Those people, generally people who were in a better financial condition than the second class normal Chinese laborer, they were allowed to come back in here, but not.
Would they have to pay a fee to, or sort of an entrance fee, or?
Well,
if you put it politely, there, or ransom.
There was a head tax, actually. They had to pay so much of a tax based on the fact that they were Chinese, which limited their ability to really make a living here. And most of all, they couldn't bring their families, their wives. There were very few women were in existence here in this town. At one time, it says that there were only, among the nearly 4,000 people by that time, there were only 7 women.
My gosh. Now, I was reading a master's thesis by a Portland State University student online, and it talked about the history of the Chinese in Astoria, and said there was a real distinction between the laborers and the merchants and the way they were treated.
Yes.
In society.
This is quite interesting, and one of our most prominent citizens of this area, Mr. David Lum, came out of the business background that his parents had established here. And so Dave is in his mid-80s now, and he can still tell us a lot about the prohibitions that his family suffered under. And particularly, Dave Lum told me one time, the first time I met him, he said, when I first got married, I wanted to build a house on top of the hill. And my mother said, Davy, you can't do that. That's reserved for white people.
My gosh. So, as recently as...
This is true. Here's another interesting thing. When we purchased a building lot on top of the hill here, Madison Avenue, we got the CC&Rs. These are the restrictions that run with the title. And it turned out that Chinese or any other people, non-white, were not permitted to live on that particular development.
And that was in the title?
Yes.
Of the
However,
land that you purchased.
We do have to add that by 1964, the Civil Rights Act wiped out that particular part, so it was no longer legally enforceable. But my point is that it was there in a development that started in 1944.
So as recently as the 40s,
there was
that systematic
right
exclusion,
yes,
racial exclusion,
yes,
happening here in Astoria.
Extreme. It is also said, and I know this is almost inconceivable, that ship's captains who brought in Chinese illegally would sometimes wrap their Chinese captives in chains and throw them overboard where they would sink and drown. This is one part of the history of the Chinese in Astoria.
And a chilling part.
Yes,
it is. Now, to get back to the program, the Chinese in Astoria coming up this Sunday, March 24th, it's going to lead off with Dr. Jennifer Fang, as I call
Fang.
Her, Jen Fang. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Tell us something about her and what she's going to speak
well,
about.
Well, I, quite frankly, have never met her. I've talked with her. I have written emails back and forth, and she is a second-generation Chinese here. So she studied the language for some time, but she is a history professor. And I think that she is going to do a terrific job about the immigration of the Chinese in the second half of the 19th century to the West Coast in general, and then coming gradually up here.
Mm-hmm. So she's going to talk about immigration to the Western United States as a region,
yes,
regionally.
Most of the Chinese, starting with the middle of the 19th century, actually arrived on the West Coast. There were hardly any on the East Coast at that time, even though gradually Chinese communities became established, for instance, in New York even. But as we know from the Chinatown in San Francisco, mm-hmm, on the one hand, and
Vancouver,
in Portland,
and
the West Coast received most of these people.
And then she's going to, after she gets done with a regional overview, then you're up next to talk about Oregon specifically.
Yes, this is correct. And I think we will have a few things that many Oregonians are not aware of, such as Cam Wah Chung, presently...
Oh. In John Day?
In John Day, yes. The apothecary that became a historical park for Oregon and was nationally recognized as a historical establishment. It's quite interesting.
I have been there
and
visited
here.
It, and it is like a time capsule.
Yes, it is, definitely.
It.
At one time, the proprietor there, well, there were two of them, of course, initially, and the Chinese doctor was considered to be the mainstay of the area because he would treat people with his herbal approach of healing, treat people in the area there frequently without getting paid for it or rejecting payment. And when he died, it turned out he had $25,000 in his account and had stipulated in his last will and testament that this be used, this legacy of his, be used for the purpose of having something for the people to look at.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he treated not just the Chinese population there, but anybody, I gather.
As a matter of fact, mostly non-Chinese, and he was in demand for literally a radius of 100 miles around the area where he was home.
My gosh, he was the doctor for the area then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, of course, an episode farther east over near Hell's Canyon, near the town of Imnaha, is a sad part of Oregon history.
Yes. This is very interesting because a company out of San Francisco had hired these Chinese to look for gold, and they were looking there at, it would be east of Imnaha, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they weren't there anymore. And this man was out fishing with his daughter, and she hooked something when they pulled it in. It was one of the dead Chinese that had been thrown in the river. 43 people we are dealing with here had been killed and that literally disappeared. And gradually, these corpses popped to the surface.
Yeah. Now, were they were miners, as I recall.
That is correct, yes. Mm-hmm. And by the way, to show the extreme attitude of whites toward the Chinese, they were not missed for quite some time. And as we all know, the first Oregon Constitution of 1859 stated specifically that the Chinese would not be allowed to own any land at all. And if, in fact, they were already here, they were allowed to stay here, but Chinese were not desirable initially.
My gosh, just despite the contributions they had made
to the development
of the state.
At that particular time, it was not recognized as a contribution, whereas later on, of course, they became what's called a model minority.
Now, after you talk about the history of the Chinese in Oregon, then MacArthur Burns, Mac Burns of the Clatsop County Historical Society, takes over and focuses on Astoria.
That is correct. He is going to let all of us know how the Chinese were treated and how important they were to the development of Astoria as the salmon capital of the world.
And that's not all. There's going to be a panel discussion after Mac Burns' address, and talk a little bit about that.
Well, spearheaded by David Lum, we're going to have a number of ethnic Chinese. These are not people who just came recently. They've been here, in some cases, for generations. And they're going to have a panel discussion, and they will be talking to our audience, and then they will take questions. And Mac is moderating that particular aspect of our program.
And there'll be questions and answers?
That is correct, yes. I haven't even figured out how we're going to get the questions to where the speaker has a mic available so that everybody can hear what the question is.
But it'll be done.
Well, we'll have to do it.
Yeah. Now, also with us in the studio is Dave's uncle, and he is the president of Encore. And Dave, for our listeners who might have heard the Encore name, but don't really know what it's about, talk a little bit about Encore, if you would.
Well, thanks, David, for inviting both of us to talk about the program and also Encore. Encore is a group of individuals, men and women of retirement age, 50 and over, who in 2001 got together and wanted to provide a educational forum for seniors and retired folk. And they worked with the college, Clatsop Community College, and we currently work with the college to provide our regular series of classes. We have three quarters of classes in, starting in the fall. We just finished the winter quarter, and we're going to be starting the spring quarter on April 1st. And that quarter will last until May 24th. And there will be several courses offered by Encore, ranging from German history, which Professor Gross will be doing, to a philosophy course featuring several teachers from the area, and our usual science exchange and writing exchange, opportunities for seniors to get together, and we're interested in lifelong learning.
Mm-hmm. And most of the instructors are, well, like Dr. Gross here.
Our instructors are homegrown, but this quarter we will be having a couple of ladies from Portland who are going to be coming out and teaching philosophy. That's part of it. So we don't rely just on local people, but we also
reach out into the area.
And this is what the Chinese in Astoria is also. We try to have a signature event every year, bring a speaker in. Last year, we had a gentleman from the Navajo Nation in Arizona who came and talked about the Navajos in Arizona, and particularly in Canyon de Chelly.
Yeah. Ravis Henry was his name.
Yeah. So this year's event, we wanted to have this because we thought it was an important topic, and we intend to have a signature event like this every year. This event is free and open to the public, so anyone can attend at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon at the Performing Arts Center.
16th and Franklin in Astoria.
Doors open at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would people get involved with Encore, say, if you're of retirement age?
That's a great question. And we have a person at the college who's in charge of community education. And Leah Olson can be called through the college. I have her number here, and her number is 503. And let me put on my glasses.
338.
338-2408. And she can get you in touch with people and membership. By the way, to be a member, it's $50 for a full year. That price
has
not changed
not
for 18 years. And if you join only for the spring, it's $25. So there's partial memberships.
And I imagine there's a website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We do give members who want to teach a course at least six or more sessions, we give them free membership. So there's a small incentive to participate in the educational part of this. And it it's small, but we really would like to have more instructors who are willing to share their particular area of expertise or knowledge.
Now, I would imagine that out of the local population, you can draw on quite a few very well-qualified former scholars like Dr. Gross here, who is a professor of linguistics.
Indeed.
We have access to personnel like that. We, however, like to have more instructors with diverse backgrounds. People might be getting a little tired of me being there. I've been there for 16 years, by the way. And I also would like to add a little bit something to the way you can become a member. We allow non-members to attend two sessions without being a member at that point. After the second session, we like to have them become members of our organization, but they can try out and see if they like anything. That's it. Exactly.
Kind of audit.
Yes.
You can audit courses. There are other advantages to being an Encore member. You have access to the college's library and the learning center there, so you can use the library.
So just like a regular student.
You can become a regular student there along with the young folks that are there. So, we have those opportunities as well.
Now, is it hard and fast that you have to be retirement age to be a member of Encore?
You can be 50 or better.
Hard and fast.
Yep. 50.
To use your expression here.
So, again, Encore, the number to call for
the... The number to call is 503-338-2408, or you can go to our website, and I'm looking for that right now.
It's EncoreLearn.org.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, it's a lively and dynamic bunch of people who want to continue learning.
We do also a few social events during the year, too. We have a group called Lunch Bunch, which meets...
The Encore Lunch Bunch. Mm-hmm.
Which meets the first Friday of each month at a local restaurant for fellowship and learning. We also have sponsored trips that go to different places in the area. Earhart has been very, very instrumental in some of those trips, which are usually related to ongoing courses.
So field trips.
Field trips.
Field trips,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we do have an occasional social event. So there are many ways to participate.
Another way you can find out about Encore is by just asking members. In other words, you don't necessarily have to go to the college number of the liaison person, but you can actually just ask somebody who is, of whom you know that they are a member, and they can get you a membership application.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very, very vibrant continuing education program.
Yeah. We have... usually between 110 and 130 members.
Really?
It
that
varies.
Was going to be my next question.
It
yes.
varies. We also have the opportunity for members who would like to, we have scholarships available for people.
Oh, really?
And they just have to talk to the president.
Which is you.
Is me.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, it's been wonderful talking to you this morning. This is going to be an absolutely fascinating program, I can tell. The Chinese in Astoria, coming up Sunday, March 24th, 2:30 to 4 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria at 16th and Franklin. There will be the Chinese immigration to the West Coast, Chinese immigration to Oregon, Chinese contributions to the development of Astoria. Well, Dave Zunkel, president of Encore, exploring new concepts of retirement education.
Yes.
Yes.
And thank you for inviting us, Dave.
And Dr. Earhart Gross, Encore member and a presenter at the Chinese in Astoria.
We've already got the program for next year.
Oh.
Lined up. Yeah.
And a preview of that, what is that?
Well, we are bringing over... two people who lived through the demise of the Iron Curtain. They were there when the wall went down, etc. And we're going to bring those people over here, and they're going to make a presentation in May of next year.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Until then, thanks so much for listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul, and Donna Quinn will be back next week in this chair.